Earth and Sky.
We've had a number of years now of an EU emissions trading system, or a cap and trade system, and we found it very useful to always be part of that dialogue that exists to help set those rules and to set the way in which the emissions trading system works, so that it can actually deliver the price of carbon necessary into the market to force that market to change. That's the nature of the deal that has to be struck in Copenhagen.
You're listening to David Hone, whose job is to be a climate change advisor for Shell, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar spoke to Mr. Hone just days before world leaders would gather in Copenhagen in December 2009 to find a way forward in dealing with climate change.
Mr. Hone, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you very much.
What is the key message that you would like to tell us today?
Well, I think in relation to where we're going on the climate change discussions leading to Copenhagen, I think the key message is don't forget the market. The Kyoto Protocol, which was negotiated back in 97, was built on the basis of a global carbon market as one of its long-term goals. And all of the pieces are there to deliver that. I think clearly the world's going to change. Clearly, the Kyoto Protocol is going to make a transition into something different that's acceptable to all the parties. But I think let's not forget the market foundations that it's built on and the fact that the market can deliver some very substantial changes if directed in the right way.
Now, in talking about the role of the market in dealing with carbon emissions, I guess the root of the problem is global warming and climate change. How serious is Shell taking global warming and climate change?
Well, for us, it's a key issue. You know, clearly, we're a high emitter in terms of our emissions directly, and of course, the indirect emissions from the products that we produce, which are used by consumers all over the world. We clearly can't ignore this issue. We clearly have to address it. And we're addressing it through a number of approaches, through improving the efficiency of our own operations, through developing carbon capture and storage. So this is the geological storage of CO2, developing a biofuels business, for example, helping our customers to understand the role of energy and how they can make better use of the energy that we provide and that others provide. We're developing a range of low carbon alternatives that we hope may bear fruit in the future. And of course, underpinning all this, you know, we think it's important to interact with governments on this issue, because governments are ultimately setting a new set of rules for the future. I think that set of rules has to work for business. And so it's important to be part of this dialogue as these new rules are set.
And this interaction with governments, does this tie into what you were talking about earlier with this global carbon market?
Well, it does. I mean, I think that's part of it. But, you know, governments are acting both at the international level, trying to forge a framework for the future. But, of course, they're also very active at the domestic level or the national level, implementing policies to drive emissions down within their own boundaries. So, for example, in the EU, we've had a number of years now of an EU emissions trading system, or a cap and trade system, and we found it very useful to always be part of that dialogue that exists to help set those rules and to set the way in which the emissions trading system works, so that it can actually deliver the price of carbon necessary into the market to force that market to change. And similarly in the US, there's a very active discussion going on, you know, as we speak, around the implementation of a cap and trade system in the United States. And it's just as important for business to be part of that discussion as well.
World leaders of both the developing and the developed nations will meet in Copenhagen in December of 2009 as part of the United Nations Climate Change Conference to decide what needs to be done about climate change. What do you want to tell them?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that need to be said. But I think I go back to really where we started, that the market really is a key part of the solution set. That if they can implement a framework that projects the price of carbon throughout the energy system, you know, around the world, and this won't happen immediately, but over time, we'll start to see that energy system go off in a new direction. And it's that new direction that can deliver the change that we need. Now, how to implement that is actually something we know quite a lot about and has been well practiced over the last few years in a number of countries. It's a matter of sitting down and negotiating that, the framework for that, on a broader basis. So we look at this and we think it's immensely difficult, and it won't be easy, but in fact the solution set is actually remarkably simple. It's a matter of applying it and working together to do that.
And in in thinking about these negotiations that will happen in Copenhagen, what do you think will happen of lasting effect at the Copenhagen Climate Change Conference?
I think the recognition of the issue already exists. So really what can happen of lasting effect is to establish this market for the future, is to change the way in which the energy markets work today and push them in a new direction in the future. And we shouldn't imagine that this is something that will deliver a solution over 5 or 10 years. It won't. These are the sorts of policies that will deliver solutions over 30, 40, and 50 years. So whatever's agreed in Copenhagen and in the period after that really changes the nature of the world's energy markets for much of this century. I think that's a legacy that can deliver the changes that we're looking for.
Well, Mr. Hone, thank you very much for speaking with us today. What's the most important thing that you want people today to know about climate change?
I think the most important thing to know is that there are pathways out of the dilemma that we've got ourselves into, that this isn't some hopeless cause, that with some clear thinking, with some good structure and international agreement, we can actually shape a different energy future. Now that might sound a bit trite, but we've had 10 years of practice at doing this through the UNFCCC. I think, you know, we've got a good idea of what works and what doesn't work. We know the technologies that are needed. They're on the table today. Some of them are still in their infancy, but many of them are rather developed. I think it's about applying those and starting to move forward. You know, this is not impossible. Many countries have intervened in their energy systems for one reason or another over the years, and they've brought about significant change. You know, over the 70s and 80s, you know, the French government changed the shape of electricity generating in France with the use of nuclear power. Now, I'm not advocating that that's right for everybody, but the fact is they did deliver an outcome. So these outcomes are possible. It's a matter of application to do it.
You've been listening to David Hone, Climate Change Advisor for Shell. Our thanks today to Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.